On today's show, we take a look at Alperen Şengün's season in review. Just what were the expectations coming in for Alperen Şengün as the number 16 pick in this last year's NBA draft, I should say? How did he rise and meet those expectations? What did he do? What did he show us as the season went along? Is there future star potential there with Alpi? His best moments, worst stretches, areas that he needs to improve on, all of that and more coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, also host of Locked On NBA Mondays, host of the State of the Rockets podcast, as well as the founder of ClutchCityControlRoom.com. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. Now, today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Check out PrizePicks.com and use promo code NBA or go to the App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. Joining us now is none other than our friend Surgeon Kumas, Surge, if you will, who you can follow on Twitter at Surgeon Kumas, reporter for Hershey NBA, covering all things NBA basketball, but with a nice twist of focus here on, you know, some of the Turkish basketball players here in the league. Surge, how you doing, my guy?
Good, Jackson. How are you, man? Thanks for having me on.
I am so excited to have you here on the show as we are navigating our kind of Rockets review series. And today we're focusing on none other than our guy, Alperen Şengün. But before we dive into Alpi focusing on, you know, where, you know, how he's grown, you know, throughout his rookie campaign, you know, the promising areas of his game, areas he still needs to work on, best moments, worst moments, all of that. We're going to get into all that here in a second. Do you maybe want to drop like a message to like, you know, our, you know, Turkish listeners, Turkish Rockets fans, Turkish NBA fans, just something you want to say to them?
Yeah, you know, I'll give it a twist. I'll say it in Turkish, so we'll give it a go. Yeah, so Türkiye'den selam, Nijerya'dan selamlar, merhaba, ben Sergen Kumaş, Nijerya'da yaşıyorum şu an, ama tabii ki zamanım Nijerya ve Philadelphia zamanları gidiyorum, gidip gelip. Houston Rockets taraftarına selamlar. Umarım gördüğünüz kadarıyla bizim temsilcimiz Alperen Şengün bayağı güzel oynadı bu sezon. Müthiş bir oyuncu. Hala 19 yaşında ve şu an iyi gidiyor. Sizin desteğiniz süper ve buna devam edin lütfen.
All right. Well, I'm not going to ask for like a word by word like translation for it, but I hope our Turkish listeners appreciate that. I do want to shout out our Turkish listeners who have been, you know, such a delight to see. They're so passionate, so engaged with this team, with this fandom, you know, since Alpi joined the team. That's been one of the coolest parts of this past season, and not something that we're talking about, you know, expectations for Alpi. I didn't have the expectations to have like a whole country like backing the show and this player, you know, on this Rockets team, but I think coming into the season, you know, when we're starting, you know, look, kind of rewinding the tape, looking back at this past year with Alpi, Surge, you know, what do you think were some of the expectations that either you kind of had or just some of the broad expectations that you envisioned for Alperen Şengün as we look back to how he started his NBA career?
Yeah, man. So, you know, Jackson off the bat, right? I mean, 2020, 2021 Turkish League MVP, right? So for those who don't really follow Turkish League, you know, I've been following it for the past 5-6 years now intensively, but, you know, granted in high school, I wasn't really looking at it. I was only like an NBA guy for the most part, an NBA person. But when you're looking at the Turkish League, it's the third best domestic league outside of the NBA. So you have, you know, the NBA, of course, the Spanish League and the Turkish League, and the Euro League is a tournament in itself. So it's like a merge of all the best European leagues. So, you know, it's like you have the Spanish league, the Serbian league, Turkish league, etc. So when you have an 18-year-old, you know, because Alperen's born late July 2002, of, you know, so when you have a player like Alperen becoming a Turkish league MVP, which is a league that has players like Shane Larkin playing for FS, Misic, and also a NBA potential guy playing for FS as well. When you have like an 18, 19-year-old like Alperen Şengün become the MVP, coming into the NBA, the best league in the world, you're thinking, man, this guy should, you know, really hit the ground running. And I think he kind of did in the way, right? So obviously he has things to work on. But I think, you know, coming into the NBA, my expectation was pretty high. I thought we were looking at the first perennial all-star when it comes to a Turkish player. So obviously when Turkoglu retired and when Mehmet Okur retired about, you know, 7, 8, 10 years ago, a lot of people were wondering, well, you have this vacuum now of no Turkish player who can take the league by storm. So, you know, obviously we got guys like Furkan Korkmaz, Cedi Osman. They're doing great stuff in the NBA. They're great guys all around. But, you know, with Alperen coming in, a lot of Turkish basketball followers and analysts were saying, you know, this guy might be the first perennial all-star. I hope he just grows and grows. And so, you know, as soon as the draft was coming, a lot of people, whether it was from like big networks like The Athletic or NBA TV or whatever, started looking closer into Alperen's potential and were saying, you know what, this guy could become the steal of the draft. And so I think, you know, the expectations are pretty high, and I think he's met them for the most part so far this season.
Yeah, doing, you know, some of my, you know, just Rockets like season grades on various podcasts and kind of, you know, other appearances elsewhere, Alperen Şengün was the guy that I walked away giving my highest season grade to. I gave him an A+, both based on just what his actual, like, you know, on the court production wound up being, as well as just kind of compared to expectations, because I think he came in and absolutely took, you know, Rockets fans and NBA fans by storm. And that really started, you go all the way back to Summer League and just how he immediately made his impact felt, the presence was there. And what was so surprising is, you know, we could go through like the highlight mixtape reel and, you know, all these different things that we saw of what he could do offensively. But what really stood out was how, you know, how much of a competitor he was and how capable he was on the defensive side of the floor. Like, this guy went out there and was blocking shots left and right in Summer League. You know, I remember he was getting blocks like all the way out at the 3-point line. He was getting beat on the drive and then recovering and still getting back in time to contest shots at the rim. And I was sitting there thinking, who is this guy? Like, you know, I remember doing, like, after the initial draft, right, I remember going back and doing my homework on him, because I'll admit he wasn't one of the guys that was like, you know, crazy high on my big board. It was just like, okay, if the Rockets have a chance to get him, like, sure, but I didn't expect him to fall all the way down to the 20s. Because if you'll remember, the Rockets had the number 2 overall pick, then they had 23 and 24. And so they traded for that middle of the round pick for 16 to be able to draft him. And so he wasn't really on my radar. And I feel like he wasn't on a lot of Rockets fans' radars. And so from that standpoint, he was really kind of a really pleasant surprise with just his skill set, his maturity, and the talent level that he was walking into the league with.
Yeah, you know, as Jackson, it's funny when you mentioned the draft, because, you know, a source had told me at that time that Alperen was probably going to go, you know, anywhere between 10 to 15, right? And, you know, he went at 16, so that was pretty close. But they were saying that the Spurs are going to be a good fit for him, the source that I had at that time, and still do to this day, thankfully. And, you know, when you think of the Spurs, right, you're thinking Greg Popovich, you're thinking international guys, right? So here I am in my home here, my family's home here in New Jersey. And now watching the draft, and they go for, you know, Joshua Primo, you know, the quality player. You know, he played in played for Alabama in a tough conference, you know, in the SEC. And I'm like, wait, wow, Spurs, we didn't go for LP. And so, the Thunder pick him. Like you said, the trade happened, and he goes to the Rockets. And I'm thinking, well, I was so focused on him going to the Spurs, and I really wanted him to go to the Spurs. So I'm thinking, well, now the Rockets have him. What do the Rockets have going on? And obviously Jalen Green got picked, and then, you know, yeah, Josh Christopher as well. So me personally, I kept envisioning him in San Antonio. So when he went to the Rockets again, I had no idea what he was going to do there. I knew the Rockets last year were really in a rough situation with John Wall, and also you had Harden who wanted out. So I'm thinking, like, well, does he really want to go to Houston? Is this going to be an ideal situation for him to grow? Because I kind of felt like from the outside looking in, you know, is the Rockets locker room toxic now because of all that's happened? We had Wall coming in last year. Again, you had Harden wanting out. Issues with the coaching, losing, right? So, you know, fast forward almost a year later, I think it couldn't have been a better situation for LP when you're looking at guys like Green, Christopher. The system that Alperen has himself in right now, I think, is ideal for the most part.
Yeah, and I think it's really important, kind of the final nail in the coffin here as we're wrapping up kind of the expectations to start, you know, his NBA career. And then we'll dive into some of the specifics, you know, standout moments and games throughout the season, as well as areas we want to see him continue to grow in. You know, it's really important to remember that from the jump, the Rockets didn't necessarily expect him to be a big part of the rotation, right? He was going to be the third string center behind Daniel Theis and Christian Wood, and you know, the kind of the backup big off the bench, if you will, probably getting a spot, you know, 15, 20 minutes a night, if that. And then it turns out, you know, Christian Wood, Daniel Theis can't coexist on the floor with one another. The double big lineup, the two non-shooting lineup with Theis and Jayshon Tate just didn't quite work out. And so because Alpi showed some serious flashes of you know, capability early on, the Rockets made that move to then get rid of Daniel Theis to open up a spot in the rotation for Alperen Şengün. And that is kind of the trajectory of how, you know, he came in with a certain level of expectation of, okay, this is going to be our second string big off the bench. He's going to back up the veteran in Daniel Theis. And he was so damn good out of the gate. The Rockets were like, okay, well, we've got to run Christian Wood the five now because Daniel Theis just can't work there. It doesn't work with the rest of our lineup, but we've got to get this kid minutes. And I think that is something that the Houston Rockets organization did handle really, really well, understanding what they had with Alpi and still finding a way, even though he was kind of tethered behind Christian Wood for his minutes, finding a way to still, you know, reemphasize, hey, we appreciate what you have and what you're bringing to the table. We want to highlight that. And we want to be able to make sure you get the adequate number of reps on a nightly basis that you need. But coming up, we want to talk about those reps, kind of how the season progressed, what we saw him do actually on the basketball court, you know, throughout his rookie campaign. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Prize Picks. Are you looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA? Then you need to check out the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. It's so simple to use. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times back on any single entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store or Google Play. Prize Picks even allows mixed sports entries, and for a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our listeners. Listeners get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores just a single point. All you have to do is use promo code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to Locked On fans only. Sign up today and use code NBA for $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores just a single point. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. And another message from our friends over at Athletic Greens. So what is Athletic Greens? What is AG1? Well, basically, with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins and minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. You just take a scoop, throw it in a cup of water, start the morning, shake it up nice and good, and then you're good to go to start the day, to really seize the day, right? This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things that should matter to you. And here's some of the, you know, the important facts about this, right? It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, doesn't matter. It supports all those different lifestyle choices. Supports better sleep quality and recovery, supports mental clarity and alertness. It's the one thing with the best things. Athletic Greens uses the best of the best products based on the latest science with constant product iterations and third-party testing to help you be the best version of yourself. It's cheaper than, you know, getting all these different supplements from different providers. And again, the best part is you're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance, investing in your body. And to make it so easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your very first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NBA network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NBA network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, be sure to go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. Host Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Fares, and Leif Thulin, giving fans a in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast, wherever you listen to this podcast. Now, Serge, as we're navigating our Alperen Şengün Rockets review here, you know, I think that as the season went along, I kind of have chalked up that first like 17 game or so stretch where the Rockets went on that 15 game losing streak. That was rough for everybody, right? Because they had the bad spacing. They did, you know, the players did not compliment each other on the floor. They had, you know, everybody's numbers were down across the board. And so I basically almost like just mentally chalked it up to like, you crumple up that chunk of games and just throw it out the window. And so the Rockets season to me almost really started at the end of November with that first of the 7-game win streak against the Chicago Bulls at home. And that was also where we started to see the Rockets really adjust their lineup and kind of bring, you know, kind of ice Daniel Theis, put him, you know, out of the rotation permanently. And then Alperen Şengün was effectively the you know, new second string big behind Christian Wood. And we saw those two guys kind of start to be tethered together as the season went along. But, you know, one, I think Alperen Şengün throughout the entire season became basically a walking highlight reel with all the assists, with the crazy plays, all of that. But what to you was the best game, you know, that he played this past season, the one where you think, okay, this was his best all-around performance or really stood out for XYZ reason?
You know, Jackson, I'll be honest, and I did think about this question leading on to our podcast episode here. So, you know, obviously the Lakers game, I think, really stood out, you know, second half of the season was just tremendous because, you know, you had a guy like Alpia, you know, going against the most and best advertised team in the NBA, the largest market, I think, besides New York, which is the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, LeBron, Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony. And so going up against those guys, I think, was really great because you were going to see, well, how good is LP against LBJ, right? Arguably one of the best players of all time. And so this was the game where, you know, I believe Alperen went off by 20-plus points, and there was a play in the second half, I believe, where Alperen literally backed down LeBron James into the post for like a baby hook. And there's a slow-mo, which I'm really thankful that the Houston Rockets social media got that, where, you know, LeBron's game backed up, and as soon as Alpi scores, LeBron just, you know, passively just pushes the ball, and you have, like, Russell Westbrook in the back just looking this way, you know, what are they going to do? So obviously, that performance was just nuts. He was dunking all over the place. You know, he just shot the ball decent that night. So, man, that performance really put him on the map, especially in Turkey where, like, you know, people really support this guy. We really do a great job of supporting our athletes over there. So, man, like, people were really glued to their TVs that night watching LP go against, the Lakers. And, yeah, the other game would have to be the 27 points he scored against the Blazers that I think a few weeks later, where really efficient, you know, did well shooting the ball around the perimeter, did well inside the paint as well. So I would say those two games in the second half of the season really stuck out for Alperen in terms of his best performances this year.
Yeah, I love that Lakers game. I'm glad you brought up. Both of these games. That Lakers game was incredible. And from that moment that you mentioned, I remember it so vividly because he backed down LeBron James, scored on him down low, and then I remember the very next possession or two, LeBron immediately stopped guarding him. Like, I remember noting that LeBron had gotten abused in the post by Alpi. And I don't think that was the first time it happened either, that game. It was like, it was a couple times in a row. And it was, that one was like the icing on top of the cake. And LeBron was like, you know what? I'm done with this kid. I can't check him anymore. And Carmelo Anthony was then dealing with him for the rest of the game. And so LeBron was just like, you know what? I'm done with this. Like, I can't check this kid anymore. I'm sick of it. And I just thought that was honestly probably a really great, like, sign of respect, where LeBron's just like, you know what? I can't deal with him anymore. Melo, get over here. You got to guard him now because I'm sick of getting posterized by this kid. That was a really impressive game. And obviously from the Rockets perspective, you know, picking up that win against the Lakers was huge. That was such an exciting game, both for, you know, for Al P, for Jalen Green, for Rockets fans in general. And then you're right. The Portland game, I like it because you see him get the 27 points, 10 of 16 shooting, a really efficient night. It's tougher because that Portland team wasn't really a basketball team that they were trotting out because they were missing like 9 of their guys. I would venture to throw in one more here, and it would be the one on the road against the Phoenix Suns just before the All-Star break. Christian Wood missed that game. It was right after the Rockets were rolling in Dennis Schroeder into the lineup, trying to see what they could potentially have with him after the Daniel Theis trade. And I remember Alpi got the starting nod that night, and the Rockets played a really damn good game against at the time, the number one seed Phoenix Suns, a really competitive basketball game. And Alpi was at the forefront of that, anchoring them, you know, both defensively, offensively from that five spot, and really playing well in conjunction with the other Rockets starters. And it was one of those things where everybody who had been beating on the drum of like, Alpi needs more minutes, get him more time. It was like, look at what's happening. He gets minutes and he's producing. So that was, I think too, like, just kind of an extension of these games, right, is throughout the season, right, we saw Alpi getting, you know, anywhere from 15, maybe 20 minutes a night, sometimes a little bit less, sometimes a little bit more. But the biggest question was, I think, will the production translate when he starts getting more minutes, right? If he's getting 25, 30, 35 minutes, does the production actually translate? Like, because you can look at some people's like per 36 numbers in the NBA And they don't always, like, per 36 is sometimes a bit of a misleading stat. Mm-hmm. Like, if we went by per 36 all the time, Boban Marjanovic is the greatest player of all time.
Ever. Yeah.
So, yeah, right. Like, his per 36 yeah. numbers are insane. Yep. But it's because he can't actually produce those numbers over a 36-minute, you know, game, because that's just not who he is as a player. Alperen Şengün can. Like, his numbers do translate when he gets more reps, when he gets more time. The points are there. The rebounds are there. The facilitating is there. It's all there. He really is kind of the total package.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Jackson, like, there is a famous saying in basketball where if a guy stays on the court too long, he might get exposed, right? So that was kind of my fear, too, where the debate was, well, if Alpi's not getting enough time, and when he does play 25, 30 minutes, and if he's not playing well, then what's the debate here? Does he deserve those minutes necessarily? So I think once Alpi did get out there, and he was playing 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and he was producing in most of those games, I think the confidence came back within the media, within the spectators, within the fans, within the franchise, that this guy, give him time and be patient with him. He's going to produce on the court. And one thing I'll say, and I hope he sees this, but throughout the entire season, I really appreciated Ryan Hollins' commentary, man. This guy was just going bonkers for Alperen. I loved it. Like, my friends were like, dude, who is that guy? He's going nuts over there. And I'm like, dude, I didn't know who it was at the time. And so, yeah, I just want to throw it out there. Ryan Hollins was really just was killing it, man, in terms of his commentary when it came to Alperen.
Absolutely. Shout out to a great friend of the program. Great. Yep. You know, I feel honored to be able to call him a great friend to myself. Ryan Hollins, absolutely one of the most genuine human beings you will ever have the pleasure of, you know, listening to or interacting with. He's such a very humble dude. Need to get him back on the show here at some point soon.
Man, for sure, for sure.
Shout out Ryan. If you're listening to this, we got to get you back on the program, man. But, so, you know, I will say, Serge, as we're looking at this, you know, just I know you mentioned kind of in that first segment there, kind of when we were going over the expectations coming in, maybe some question marks about the coaching staff at hand. And I think that was one of the big kind of hot button issues for this season is, you know, Rockets fans being upset with how the coaching staff handled some of the young guys this season. But as you look at the season as a whole, how do you feel the coaching staff did implementing Alperen Şengün and allowing him the opportunity to really shine and flourish and, you know, kind of play his game, but also be, you know, still kind of, you know, plugged into the team concept and not just going out there and like hero balling it when he's on the floor.
You know, the one thing I'll say about the coaching, Jackson, is, you know, because I want Alperen to succeed so badly, being that, you know, he's from Turkey, actually. And fun fact, he's actually from the same city my family's from in Turkey. So it really hits home. Yeah, man, it's really a really great story. So, you know, obviously when Coach Silas, you know, obviously comes from a great basketball family, you know, with his father and everyone involved. So I have the utmost respect for him. But in the beginning, I'm thinking, well, if he's not giving Alpi time and Alpi deserves it, I'm thinking, well, Silas has to coach these young guys. But at the same time, coaching is his job. So you have to do a good job, in your career to keep your job, right? I mean, to keep going and to keep performing. So when Silas wasn't giving the time to him, I'm thinking, well, this guy just wants to keep his job. I mean, he's a coach after all. You have to do a good job to keep your job, right? So, but I think as the season progressed, and I think once he gave Alperen more minutes and was more confident with him, I just think he started flourishing more. And the entire coaching staff was like that as well. They were really supportive of Alperen. And I think Houston does a good job when it comes to international big men coming into their city. And they're just opening them with, you know, with open arms, whether that's Hakeem Olajuwon, the great Hakeem Olajuwon, the great Yao Mings of their time. So I think so far this season, well, throughout the season, they did a good job of really welcoming Alperen. They were patient with him because there were times when Alperen would be like on the perimeter or outside near the 3-point line. He would do like a behind the back pass. And you're like, well, was that really called for? So I think the coaching staff was great when it came to their approach with them. They were patient. He's a European big man, and there's a shaky history of European players in the league overall when it comes to adjusting to the speed and power of the NBA. So I think they were great overall.
Coming up, we're going to share kind of final thoughts, you know, on our areas that we'd like to see Alperen Şengün continue to focus on and grow in, as well as any final thoughts we have here, you know, regarding his season as a whole. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is considered your source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting, playoffs, esports, the NBA draft, and more. And speaking of the NBA draft, right now, you can go to betonline.net and check out the odds for who's going to be number one overall in this year's NBA draft. Right now, Jabari Smith Jr., the favorite at plus 100. Chet Holmgren right behind him at plus 190. Paolo Banchero bringing up the rear at plus 275. So for that and tons of other odds, head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action available to you. Bet online. It's where the game starts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, be sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast, from the first jump of the play-in tournament to the very final possession, the final buzzer of the NBA Finals. It's Locked On Experts taking you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. I host the Monday show. It's always a ton of fun. Three interviews from around the league to get you started off right with your basketball week. Be sure to check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Now, Serge, with Alperen Şengün, I do think that, you know, throughout his season, I don't really think there was an area where he really like had like a gap or a series of games where he like, you know, really struggled. I think one thing is he was relatively consistent in a majority of his play. I do think there were some games where maybe he, you know, didn't quite have the efficiency. Like he came out and have, you know, would have a bit more of a quiet night, like a 1-for-4 or 1-for-5 shooting night, you know, only a couple points here and there. But largely he's a guy that can go out there. He's still going to, you know, play solid defense. He's going to rebound. He's going to do his best to facilitate when he can. And I do think that as he got more and more consistent minutes as the season went on, his consistency in play kind of matched that a little bit, where he became, you know, a bit more of a reliable force of, okay, he's checking into the game. You know, he's good for a bucket or two. You know, he's good for setting up his teammates for some assists, you know, throughout the game. And obviously the assists this season were absolutely wild. Still, to me, the number one assist that he had all season long was against the Boston Celtics on the road Boston. And it was the one where he was under the bucket and, you know, drew in like multiple defenders and then got the pass out, the behind the back left-handed, I believe it was, pass behind three Boston Celtics defenders and got it out to Josh. And Josh was able to drain the three. Like that to me is still one of the most absurd passes I've ever seen in a live NBA setting. Is there a pass that comes to mind for you that you want to highlight that you remember from his insane highlight reel?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that one, Jackson, was huge. I know Jason Williams, actually, great Jason Williams, actually commented on that. He's like, oh, yeah, that's a good pass. That's a good pass. And that was pretty cool to see. But I think one pass for me was definitely, I forget what game it was, but I know it was to Kevin Porter Jr., where Alperen literally got the rebound and there was two guys in front of him and he was had the ball like this, but he made a pass like that without even looking, because all the attention was going that, oh, he'll get the ball, bring it down and go back up with it. But then Porter was just cutting in. He grabbed me and just slammed it. And I was like, wow, that was insane. So, yeah, man, I mean, they were calling him Baby Jokic coming into the league, and he definitely showed that in terms of his passing ability. So, you know, really good with his hands for a big man, and it's just the beginning. So, you know, when he does improve that vision, you know, next year and the year after, hopefully, we're going to see more and more of that frequently.
Yeah, and I think, too, right, we get caught up in the passing, and for good reason. It's, again, some of the passes have been absolutely insane. But I think the other area of his game that is really incredibly promising, before we get to some of the areas that we definitely want to see him improve and grow and work in, is his ability to draw fouls. His free throw rate is through the roof. Like, his ability to just initiate contact and get to, you know, get to the free throw line has been absurd. The fact that he can get down there, and it's a big part of like why he was an MVP at such a young age, but he has such a polished level of play about him, both just the way that he processes the game, how quickly he reads and reacts to what opposing defenders are doing, and even utilizing that processing speed when he's on the defensive end, being able to understand where to move his body to, how to recover after being beat off the dribble, things like that. But offensively, seeing him with that repertoire of skills, he gets down low, gets into the paint. He's got the patience, the spins, the twists, the up fakes, all of that. And to imagine him, you know, having another summer after now kind of knowing his role with the Houston Rockets, understanding where he stands in the eyes of the organization, all of that, and be able to really finesse, you know, really fine tune and work on the finesse side of his game and get it to even another level. You know, his ability to, again, draw free throws and elevate that part of his game was such a big part of what, you know, some of the areas of success that he had this past season.
Yeah, it's almost like Joel Embiid-esque. I mean, make no mistake, Joel Embiid is a top three NBA player, now Prince just a rookie, you know, this past season. But, I mean, the way he was drawing fouls in the paint, you know, almost seemed effortless as well. He would give one pump fake and then, you know, make that contact and would just chuck the ball up and that's it. He's getting two free throws. And so, you know, again, similar to Joel Embiid-esque, I mean, the way he was drawing it. And at one point, you know, he was getting the free throws, but he wasn't really making them too much. But I think as the season got along, he was more consistent from the charity stripe. So, again, it was just effortless for him and really great in the post as well in terms of his pump fakes. You know, his pivot movements and everything was good. And obviously we saw that in January when he worked out with Hakeem Olajuwon. He kind of, from that one workout, he was really able to adapt those skills and really put it into his game during the game. So I think that's difficult, right? So I think a lot of guys in the offseason learn a lot of moves and different skills with different trainers all over the country. But when it comes to actually playing the game, are they actually going to make that move? Can they do it? And so I think Alperen was just really good for a 19-year-old to really incorporate those skills his rookie season.
Yeah, you know, learning on the fly and adding stuff to your bag in the middle of a season is insanely difficult. And that's something that we absolutely saw Alperen Şengün do. It's something that we saw Jalen Green kind of do when he brought back the mid-range game in the middle of the season. It was phenomenal to see. And it's worth noting that Alperen Şengün, as the season did go along, his numbers did get, you know, level out, get more consistent. You look at his post All-Star break stats. He averaged 11.6 points per contest, 7 rebounds per night, a little under 3 assists, basically a steal and a block per game, shot 46% from the floor. Now the one area, well, 74% from the free throw line, which is respectable.
Yeah.
The one area though that is a bit of a drawback with Alp right now, and it's kind of crazy because there were some moments throughout the season where you're starting to think, "Oh, he's putting it together. He's hitting the three ball, you know, Alperen Şengün always." And you know, unfortunately, the three-point percentage not quite there. Post All-Star break, just 21% from the three-point line on 2.5 attempts per game. That's got to be probably the number one area for him. You know, the three-point shooting, and then conversely, also the defense. You know, even though he did get better as a defender as the season went along, the three-point shooting is going to be kind of the next evolution of his game offensively because he is a guy who's so comfortable in and around the basket. But if he can't play as you know a true five-out, you know, in a five-out system, it's going to really limit his opportunities to, you know, create not only for himself, but also for his teammates, because a guy who can pass the basketball the way that he can almost needs to be able to be out on the perimeter to draw a man out to him, because that creates those opportunities where guys can have those backdoor cuts, can get into the lane and, you know, really, you know, be able to feed off of his insane passing ability.
Yeah. And Jackson, what we said about his 3-point shooting, there were times where he was open on top of the key, whether it was on the perimeter itself or on top of the key, where he would want to shoot it and the defender would get a little closer for the closeout. He'd just like pass it back out. I remember Ryan Hollins always saying, shoot it, you got to shoot that. And so, because once he pump fakes and is kind of like hesitant to shoot the ball, he's going to shoot it and he's going to brick it most likely. That's what happens with a lot of these guys in the league where they're going to shoot it. They can't make up their mind. And then the shot's already gone because the defender closes out already. So I think with LP, you know, once he does get to that point where the shot falls more consistently, he's going to be a threat down low in the mid-range and beyond the three-point arc. So I think, you know, once those improvements come in the offseason, it's going to be really special for him.
Yeah, and I do think that he's got a solid form when it comes to the three ball. Like, the form looks good. There's nothing like mechanically wrong with the shot. It's just about the consistency, getting it to a point where it is, where the confidence is there, right? Because it did feel like there were some points in the season where it's like, oh, he's pulling a three ball with confidence. Great. Happen. And it would be there for like a few games. And then it would, like you said, it would go away where he'd be on the perimeter, he'd be wide open. And there would be that bit of that briefest, you know, hesitation where it's like he'd catch the ball, nobody within 10 feet of him, and he should immediately pull up for the 3-point shot, but he hesitates. Mm-hmm. Either it's because he's looking for the next pass, trying to create for a teammate, or just because he, again, maybe didn't have that confidence in the shot that he needs to have, you know, when he's going to be out there, you know, wide open on the 3-point line. But the other flip side of that is, even though he's gotten, you know, significantly better as a defender, I do think that's going to be the area that he needs to improve, you know, improve on a lot moving forward. And I think it's very curious the direction the Rockets decide they want to go with him, because I think right now you kind of assume that Alperen Şengün has to play the five spot for the Houston Rockets. But I think there's a world where Alperen Şengün, if he maybe slimmed down a little bit, you know, maybe lost a little bit of that, you know, a little bit of weight, he's got the, you know, the maybe the lateral movement ability, the quick feet to be able to be a four at the NBA level. Again, I think you'd have to kind of slim down a little bit. I think we're going to have a better idea of the role the Rockets envision for him, you know, next season and moving forward, depending on what he looks like coming back into training camp. Because if he bulks up even more and looks even bigger coming into next season, then it's like, okay, no, he's permanently a five. That's his position. But if he slims down a little bit and gets to be a little bit more agile, maybe a little bit lighter on his feet, then I think he's going to be viewed as a guy who can maybe be a bit of a tweener, somebody who can play the four or the five at the NBA level, which could be really beneficial, seeing as how he is a bit undersized to be a true NBA five, unfortunately, you know, standing at about 6'9", 6'10". Yeah. He makes up for it by doing his dirty work early and you know, really fighting when he has to. But at the same time, like, he is giving up a couple inches at that position.
Yeah, and obviously, I'm going to say something now that's going to be a whole different topic. I'll close it really quickly, though, is obviously, you know, the draft's coming up and, you know, which direction the Rockets go with the prospects that are now in the NBA draft. So if they get the guy they want to get, which I'm seeing a lot on Rockets Twitter now, what happens to LP after that? You know, what happens with Garuba once he does develop into the player that he should develop into? Does LP, you know, play the five? He's a bit undersized, like you said. So, maybe the four is a better position with for him if he leans a little bit in terms of his body fat and his body weight. And so, yeah, I can see him playing the four, absolutely. Again, though, I'm not really sure where the Rockets front office wants to go with him. With the draft coming up, with Garuba, who's still a very much an experiment, he's a project for the Rockets. So we're just going to see what happens these next few months.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a telling, you know, series of weeks and months for the Houston Rockets, kind of establishing what direction the organization is going to go. Obviously, another big question mark is what happens with Christian Wood. How does that factor into Alper and Şengün's future role with this Rockets team? Right, those two guys, you know, can they coexist on the court together? Does Alper and Şengün still play behind Christian Wood next season? There's a lot of Rockets fans who are probably going to be up in arms, and a lot of Turkish Rockets fans who are going to be up in arms if Alper and Şengün is not the starter this next season, given, you know, how well he played to just across his entire, you know, rookie campaign. But Serge, any last thoughts you want to chime in here before we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, man. So funny thing I should mention is a lot of my friends always ask, well, Serge, you know, you're so high on LP, what's his, you know, what's the ceiling and where he, like, what's his floor? And I'm like, dude, there is no floor. This guy has to go up. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. I'm really keen on the guy. You know, obviously a great story. I got in touch with a few people back in my family's hometown, and you know, it's just a really good story for LP coming from a small city. And so I think, you know, the sky's the limit, but nothing's guaranteed, right? So he has to keep improving as the years go on. If there's no improvement going forward, you know, this league doesn't forgive. So I hope he just keeps improving and keeps developing. He's a great guy, comes from a great family. So again, I think the limit is the ceiling, or the sky's the limit, however you say it. So I'm really keen on LP, and he's in a great organization with the Houston Rockets. So I just hope it keeps going.
You know what we're going to have to say? We're going to have to say the floor is actually in the penthouse. That's what we're going to say for
now.
Yeah,
man.
The floor is all the way up there. It's in the top of the building.
That's it, man.
Serge, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the program here, man, to talk about our guy, Alperen Şengün. Do me a favor. Let our listeners know where they can track you down at, where they can find all your content.
Yeah, so at Serge Kumas all over my socials. So that's TikTok, also on Twitter, mainly on Instagram. I do a lot of stuff with other Turkish players, you know, on there as well. You know, I'm based here in, you know, New Jersey, Philadelphia. So a lot of Sixers basketball coming up. I will be at game six or five, or I've lost track now, but I'll be at the game this Thursday in Philly at the Wells Fargo Center. So I will be there on social. You can check it out on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, etc.
Yeah, so if you're still one of the avid followers of James Harden and kind of following,
man,
you know, his success with the Sixers, definitely give our guy Serge here a follow. He is a phenomenal NBA writer, reporter. You want to follow him for all the information, everything that he does, covering, you know, the Turkish players at large, the NBA at large, all of that. So be sure to give him a follow. Serge, appreciate you stopping by the show, man. It was awesome.
Exactly. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
That's going to do it for today's episode. Alperen Şengün's kind of season in review, reflecting on, looking back at what he did in his rookie campaign with the Houston Rockets. How do you feel Alperen Şengün's rookie year went? Let me know in the YouTube comments. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Already mentioned it, but go to YouTube, subscribe to us there. Go to YouTube, search Locked on Rockets, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked on Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.